Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
And our guest today is one of your friends, Christy Thome. It's February 1991. Are you there, Christy?
Christy
Thome.
Hi.
Hi.
Yay.
Hi, so everyone.
Glad.
It's
Hi.
So nice to hear your voice, girl.
Oh, I know. It has been too long.
It has been way too long. It's been, God, years. I miss you. I miss seeing you.
I miss you. You've always
We're
been one
to
of
get
my
together.
Favorites. We will.
I feel the same way.
Corona's over.
I feel the same way. I feel like we've always been a little bit kind of oddballs. And I like that about us.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm glad that you say that. And you were appointed to take me out in the very beginning. Or did you pick me up at the airport? Or remember you called in to the show. You were telling us a little bit about it. And
I was
you were appointed to take me out.
I was. I know. I think that they like knew that I was like a party animal back then, and they were like, "This new playmate's coming into town. She doesn't know anybody. Take her out." Like, no problem. It was so fun. We had such a good time.
Yeah
it was. I know.
I think they were really smart about that, don't you? The Playmate Promotions and just the whole company, the morale, and everybody was friends. And
the camaraderie,
had it. Yes, Hef made it that way. It was really important that, you know, he liked it when everybody got along. And, I mean, of course, we all know that. But it has been hard since he died, and we can't see each other
I
but
know.
The mansion all the time. You know what? It's
I know.
Something you take for granted.
I totally agree. You know what I really I forgot what I was going to say. I know what I was going to say. You know what was so awesome about the mansion? I felt like it was like the great equalizer. Like you would expect to go to the mansion and for the girls to be all snobby and for the celebrities to be all, you know, I'm a celebrity. But, like, you went there and every pretense was left at the door. Everyone was so nice. Everyone shared everything. Everyone hugged everyone. I mean, it was just, like, it was so wonderful. It was, like, such a
it
great.
It really was.
Yeah, not at all, I think, what people expect, for sure. But
no,
and
I'm glad you pointed that out. Yes.
It was really wonderful, and I so miss that.
When you came along in 1991, you were February 91. Tell us what it was like at the house with Hef. He was married to Kimberly. How was it? Tell us the very first day that you got picked up. Did you get picked up in a limo, or were you already living in L.A. and driven to the Playboy Mansion to stay? How did it work? Like, we want to know, how did you become a Playboy centerfold first and foremost?
Well, that is a bit of a story.
What we want to hear, right, Johnny?
Right?
We always start off with this. Yeah.
Okay, you guys asked for it. Okay, I had this really, really horrible boyfriend. Like, kind of like super horrible. He was like 41 when I was 14. Like that kind of horrible. Anyways, I know it's a crazy situation, but he used to get this magazine every month and like pull it open to the centerfold and tell me, "This is a real woman. You'll never be a real woman." And I was so young, you know. I know he was a real pig, but I used to made me so insecure, you know. And I mean, I was a kid. I just didn't really know better, and I didn't know the mind games he was playing on me. But when I turned 18, I was like, fuck, oops, sorry. I was like, screw you, I've had
okay.
enough.
We're in over 18. You're okay
oh,
with
I
that.
Cut?
Yeah.
I love cussing. Anyways, it's like my big FU to him, you know. So when I got accepted, they actually kind of like saved my life from him. He like came after me and was going to kill me. It was a whole crazy
story.
Oh,
wow. Oh,
yeah.
Gee.
Yeah.
So really,
Playboy
was he really that much older than you? I mean, that is a huge How did that happen, though? You got connected and mixed up with him. I mean, where were your parents? What was going on with that?
Oh, they tried. They really, really tried. I was a crazy. I mean, things started happening with me when I was really young, probably when I was like 11, with, you know, stuff like that. So, I don't know. One thing kind of begot another thing. And by the time I was 14 and met him, I felt like, well, shoot, I'm like old enough to handle this. You know, look at what else has been going on all these years. So, I mean, my poor parents, my mother tried everything, including like getting me locked up in a mental hospital for 6 months.
Oh, my
yeah.
goodness. Did you have siblings?
Siblings? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did
I
you
have
any?
A half-brother. I do. I have a half-brother and a half-sister, but they're both like 10 and 11 years older than me.
Okay, so,
I'm
so they were gone
almost.
Before. I was wondering, like, did
yeah.
your mom have trouble with a bunch of kids, or was it just you?
No, it was only me. And bless her heart. Oh. I mean, she did her absolute best. I mean, she was awesome, and I was a freaking handful. But not really my own fault. So, and not, it sucks because when stuff like that happens to a family, it's nobody in the family's fault, you know. It's whoever's perpetrating that act that fault it is, and that person just gets off scot-free, and you end up having, you know, problem after problem in life, in relationships, in, you know, a million different ways, and they just go on about
but
their business doing it to somebody else. I'm sure.
But that is so cool.
Yeah.
Before the show started, you were mentioning that you are going to become a therapist and are enrolled in college for that. So that is great.
I
mean, you're coming around full circle. Now you will be
able
to probably help those girls or all those people more with what you've gone through and your experiences. So that, to me, is a perfect therapist, somebody who's actually lived through some really hard times. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good for you on that one.
Thank you. Yeah, it took me a long time to arrive here, but I'm really happy to be on this track, and I feel like I'm finally like doing exactly what I need to be doing, what I'm supposed to be doing in life. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I'm sure there's been a lot going on between the Playboy coming out and now. So we got
oh my
to get
gosh.
To that. I want to know. Okay, so did you send in your pictures? How did you go about, like, okay, I want to be a Playboy Playmate, and this was the magazine that mean boyfriend was showing me, but I'll show
yep.
him. Or how? What was going through your mind?
Oh, that was exactly what was going through my mind. Like, screw you. Now I'm going to be one of these women, in quotations, and you're not going to have me anymore. That was my full-on intention. So that's exactly what I did. Like the day I turned 18, I think I sent pictures in, and that was it. They called me back, and, you know, the whole process was so exciting. I went in, you know, you go in for a test shoot, which is like Polaroids that they take of you. And then, you know, if you make it past that and that editor, then you go to the next level and you go to the next level. And it was so exciting every step of the way.
Because you felt sure of yourself. But what about the girls who don't feel sure about themselves? That could probably be nerve-wracking. Because I was rooming at the mansion with a girl from my year, and she almost wasn't going to make it because one of her boobs was, like, all messed up. They had to go get a surgery to get it fixed before. But, I mean, that's so nice to have to, like, give her some time. Okay, go get it fixed, come back, and we'll look at you then, you know? But
yeah,
some weren't so perfect from the beginning, but I'm looking at your centerfold right now. Oh my gosh, the prettiest girl is right there looking
please.
Back at me. Oh, come on,
you
with a smile, and it's just, it is very, just, it's pretty with the pretty outfit, the lace, the white lace. Everybody, go look her up, February 91, the beautiful bracelet they have on you. So, but you know what?
Those bracelets were
I forgot
nice.
To ask you. Where were you living, though, before Playboy? Were you living in California?
I was. I was living with that man, and I was living in California in a little town called Montrose, and I was living with him. And when I started shooting, see, I wasn't worried about them. Not I really had like, didn't think in a million years that I would get accepted. I mean, I didn't, I thought it was like such a pipe dream and a long shot, because I didn't even really like think of myself as like pretty or know anything of, you know, like I had been brainwashed like for 4 years. So I really didn't have any expectations.
But wait, so I was, what about when you were in school? When you were in junior high and high school, how were those
kids? I didn't go to high school. I was one of those kids. I dropped out in the ninth grade. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And then you just moved in with him, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Mm. Yeah, basically.
I can see
after
why your mom wouldn't be so happy.
Oh, she was not. It was, I feel so bad for the whole situation now, because I think back to like a, you know, having a 14-year-old daughter and like all this stuff going on, and she must have just been pulling her hair out. I was impossible. I was one of those kids.
Wow. And then all of a sudden, not only that, she's probably getting a phone call and you're probably saying, okay, and guess what now, Mom? I'm going to take my clothes off and pose nude for Playboy. What did
she say about that? She was thrilled with that one. I mean, after what I had just, like, come out of, she couldn't be happier. I mean, she was thrilled with that.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Because some moms wouldn't be thrilled with that.
Yeah, I know. My mom's never been judgmental that way. I think she's more, a little bit more progressive. And I think really, like, after the situation that I came out of, she was just happy that, like, I wasn't anywhere near a pedophile or anything like that. She was just happy for me there. And, you know, and she was happy that I was, like, moving on with my life, you know.
So she was open-minded about it. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. She liked it. Did your parents like it?
My mom was worried about it at first, because she was just assuming the stories were true about the wild, crazy parties, and she didn't want me to get all caught up in drugs. That was, she didn't care about the nudity. She cared about the lifestyle. Yeah, the lifestyle was, like, worried her, but guess what I did? I took her up to the Playboy Mansion for one of those Sunday night dinner parties. She sat right by Tony Curtis, which was her idol, and, you know, then she saw what a family atmosphere this is, and I'd rather have my daughter be a playmate and have these people behind her than go to L.A. with nobody and try to make it with nothing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She thought.
I'm sorry?
Sorry. What surprised you the most about being a playmate?
They were really protective, I think I really craved that. And I think that that's like something that got me in trouble my whole life, is like craving that protection. But they were really protective of us, and I really appreciated that. Like when I first started shooting, and I was dealing with that whole boyfriend stuff, and it was dissolving, and I was becoming a playmate, and he wanted to kill me and all of that. They my makeup artist, I was shooting one day, and I came to work, and I was like, oh my God, I mean, I was 18 and a total knucklehead, and I was a complete idiot. I was like, oh my God, my boyfriend doesn't want me to do this. He had a gun in my mouth last night, said I was going to be star 90. And my makeup artist, you know, Tracy, did you have Tracy?
No,
Tracy,
I had a
clone?
Lister. No, did know her. Yeah. Tell us about what she said to you. Tell us.
She literally, like, took me by the shoulders and was like, listen, little girl. Like, you are going to get hurt. Like, this is serious. Like, you have to, like, wake up here. You know, she was, like shaking me. Like, come on. Like, hello. You know, it was, like, so normal to me that it was just, like, you know, it was like a Tuesday, you know. And she took me, like, right to Neil Spotts, the head of security at the time, and they got a restraining order against him. They sent the police to his house to get my stuff out, and then they hid me away. They, like, hid me away. And
where did they hide you?
We were shooting out in Malibu. They decided I was supposed to shoot at the studio on Sunset, and they changed my shoot to a location in Malibu just to get me out of the... Yeah, to get me safe and away from, you know, the danger.
Crazy. I never heard this. I did not know this about you. And this makes me feel so good about Hef, that he took the measures to get you taken care of and protected some people. Who knows? Maybe that would have ruined
him.
Oh, she's too much trouble. We don't want any trouble around here. So,
especially like with what happened to Dorothy Stratton. I mean, instead they just protect you. I mean, I felt fiercely protected by everyone there. I felt like we all looked out for each other, of course, but you know, like people at Playmate Promotions, Heft, Mary, all the, you know, like even, you know, our photographers, I felt like everyone was real protective over us. They kind of, you know, they kind of like, we were like, they're the little, not the little kids, but you know what I mean?
They were though. Oh yes.
Yeah.
No, I felt it too. I felt it too.
Yeah.
I really did. I was too shy once to come out of the little cottage when I was staying there, like my very first night at a cocktail party, and they weren't big back then, and I was too shy. Somebody came and walked me in because I'm like, I wasn't used to any of that kind of lifestyle at all, like that.
Right.
The glam and everything. I got used to it fast, so I really liked it. And then once I realized, okay, they were just like you described. They were not suck up. They were all nice. They were very nice. And I felt comfortable after that first cocktail party. But nobody else was there with me. I was just staying at the mansion.
You were all by yourself?
That time. I went back and forth like 8 times from Nashville to L.A. to shoot this and that, you know, because she wanted to save me for December. So I started shooting February. And then it was 8 months of just being around, you know. A lot of back and forth.
Remember
but when
how
you're
much
from L.A., you may not stay at the mansion, right?
No, I never stayed at the mansion, actually. No. I never, I never, ever stayed there. I always wanted to stay there, but no, I never got to.
Yeah, it was
but
for
I
the out-of-town
cool,
girls.
But it was always nice to visit. But I was really surprised at how amazingly nice all the girls were, too. Because that we really became like, we were really like a sisterhood that, I mean, there's not that many of us in the world, you know, and it is. It's like a big sorority. You know, we all
it really is.
Have
I say that all the time.
Deeply in common.
Yeah.
And
it's
nice.
Johnny has noticed.
Yeah, I was going to say something about that. You know, like one of your friends was going to try to call in tonight. I've been trying to get a hold. His name is Tylan John. Was going to try to call
BFF.
In tonight.
Love her.
Yeah, but if she calls in, I'll let you know. But you know, she has nobody to call in. But she's we're interviewing her next week, right, Barbara? Barbie, you there?
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. Well, I brushed my phone and it accidentally went on mute and I was talking. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yes, we're going to have her on next week. And I haven't talked to her for years either, Christy.
Oh, I talk to her all the time. She's literally like my BFF. Like we always talk. And I love that girl.
Okay.
Oh,
me
I have
too,
a really
because...
funny story about Tylan.
Okay.
But maybe, you know what? Maybe
she was
I'll
up
call in next week.
Oh, yeah. We got to do that. We're going to do another group call with Playmates. We're going to do something in a group, aren't we, Johnny?
We sure, yes. It's going to be, we'll be with the psychic medium, yes.
Well, I will call in and tell you guys my very first introduction to Tylan John and why I ended up sleeping in the bathtub that night.
You can tell us now.
Tell us now.
So I'll wait until she comes. Okay. Okay. Well, do you know that she was the first Playmate I ever met. And I was shooting, and she came by the studio, and Alexis, I think Alexis referred her, the makeup artist. And so, yes, I always will remember that moment. That was exciting to actually meet another Playmate.
Right, I'm going to see if I can get her on the phone right now.
That's one of my questions, too, Christy, that I ask all the Playmates, if there is a friend, a Playmate friend, that they really connected with and is like their best friend. And now we found out, Tylan, is that for you?
Yeah, Tylan is my girl. But I connected with a lot of Playmates. I mean, Ava was a good friend of mine. And you know what? Like, Ava has this stigma,
like for some reason people would tell me like, be careful of Ava. Like everyone was afraid of Ava for some reason. She's like, I love Ava. Ava's so nice. And like, she's like an awesome girl.
Do you know she was actually my best friend for a few years because my boyfriend lived in her apartment complex and she came over all the time and we got really, really close. So I agree with you completely.
Love Ava. She's awesome. Mm-hmm. I know.
She's dynamic. I love her.
Yeah. And you know what? People said the same thing about Kim Hefner, too. And I loved her, too.
That's another thing I was going to ask. How was it with that? Did you go out to sushi with her? I did. I thought she was totally cool.
She was always super nice to me. We both had a lot of dogs. So we always connected on the dog level. We'd run into each other at the vet and various, like, it seems like we always ran into each other in public at, like, some pet thing. That was like a store.
That's cool.
Or a vet or... yeah.
I feel like it's like a magnetic thing with her and me too. It's weird. I would always hear when she was having lunch with her mom and my mom would be visiting, having lunch. We would be in Beverly Hills and we'd always run into each other when we were with our mothers. Isn't that crazy?
That is so crazy. I so believe in like weird, fateful things like that though.
What, Johnny? Mother? Are you talking about?
What did you
say? He wants to know what we were talking about. I said that I always used to run into Kimberly Hefner when she was with her mother and I was with my mother having lunch in Beverly Hills, like three different times. So that was kind of ironic. So, I never had a problem with anybody. Did you ever have a problem
either
with anybody or a situation, a negative thing at all with Playboy?
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't either. I really, like, loved everyone. And, I mean, I don't know if everyone loved me, but I definitely loved everyone. It was a fun time back then. It was really, life was so different. It was so, such an exciting time. We were traveling all over the world, and it was so much fun traveling all together.
Because, Christy, guess what? Some people didn't travel one place at all, and...
What?
They weren't always chosen. No, I mean, they didn't. They weren't chosen. I've interviewed plenty who never even had one. Maybe
You're
they
kidding.
Did the Vegas. That's it. No. Did you do a lot of the foreign publicity?
I think so. I mean, I was Playmate of the Year in Holland one year. And that
What?
Like, Amsterdam threw me a huge party. And you can imagine, like, what Amsterdam throwing you a huge party is like.
I didn't know they did that. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you think there's Playmates out there that don't even know they were given that honor by a Playboy issue?
No. I wouldn't imagine because you know your foreign editions, right? You've seen them all, haven't you?
Yeah, and I've been on some covers of the foreign, But I didn't get the foreign Playmate of the Year.
I only got that one, and who knows what the politics were in that. And also, when the Czech Republic was still Czechoslovakia, I went out there to open their very first edition of Playboy, which was like one of the coolest experiences I've ever had because it was really, really cool. This was kind of after they, as a country, were not – like, didn't experience that much freedom or that long of a period of time where they had the freedom, certainly not like we did. And so, like, Playboy to them represented freedom. I mean, everyone was, like, thrilled that they were opening a Playboy there. It represented to them, like, that the country was, you know, becoming open and, you know, it was really cool.
And you learn about it, and it's different, and if you go to the – I did that for Russia for their first – Playmate there. We flew out to Russia. That was so cool. Same thing, but they have like machine guns? Like at the studio entrance door, there was a guy in fatigues with a machine gun. You know, I mean, it was so secure like that. I mean, did you ever see that?
Not when I was shooting for Playboy. I went to China on a really scary trip. Unfortunately, not through Playboy. I really learned my lesson there. But that was a whole nother crazy story that I almost didn't make it back from. But but no, I never experienced machine guns with Playboy.
Yeah,
but
that it was
sounds
crazy.
Really interesting. Yeah,
it was.
I can imagine. It was really fun traveling. You know, even
when you're young.
So yeah, totally.
Super young, and not only are you traveling, you know, to a foreign place, but you're traveling. Like in style, okay? They have everything set up for you. You don't even have to think.
Oh, yeah.
Your wardrobe's done. I mean, you just, everything.
Yeah,
is
you
just,
are set.
You know, best restaurant.
Totally.
Everything.
Totally.
Yeah.
No, I know. And it's so fun. And everyone is so nice to you. And yeah, it's awesome. It was really, really fun. I felt, in hindsight, I wish I would have done it more. You know, like I kind of, I had my little period of time, but it was a real small chunk of time that I did promotions and stuff, and I wish I would have done it more. I think I became like a
what
feminist
about,
like
really you so you kind of just kind of got away from it after a few years because they have so much work.
Yeah.
They have so much work in all of the special editions. Did you, I was going to ask you if you did that a lot, those special editions and any kind of other shoot for Playboy that sticks out that you want to tell us about that they were doing, you know, I did the Helmut Newton, something like that, that you want to tell us about.
Oh, I did a great, but I forgot the name of the photographer, which is really crappy. And it was like a big photographer and I totally forgot the name of him now, but it was a really great shoot. We were like Chanel slut. And so we were like decked out, like all Chanel style, but like totally slutty.
God,
it was so awesome.
Oh, cool.
Guess who's here? Well, guess who's here?
Oh, who?
I'm in John.
My tie-tie.
Hello. How are you, girls?
I'm so sorry for all the phone calls. I'm really sorry. I was just trying to make sure you didn't call in.
I was out feeding. I had to go out and feed a dog that I took in that was really skinny.
Okay.
So he's taken in a lot of groceries.
I'm really,
so.
Really sorry. I mean, I called you like 5 times. I didn't want to be pushy.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Okay, just start.
Oh, Tymin, it's so good to hear your voice. It's been a lot of years, hasn't it?
I know. Time flies when you're having fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, it seems like, Playboy was just a few years ago, really. It's really crazy how life goes so fast.
In some ways, but like in other ways, it seems like it was like a lifetime ago. It seems like that it was to another person. It seems like that was another.
Well, yeah,
in
definitely.
Because
I think we grow up and we change a little bit.
Oh yeah, definitely. We've changed
a
lot.
Kristen says that she's completely different. She feels like she's a completely different person. But you know what? We want to hear about since you're here. I don't know, yet to be determined. But we want to hear about why Christy ended up in your bathtub one night after a wild night. Tell us about it, you guys.
What happened?
I was at the hotel. It was at a hotel.
Oh, no.
Okay, it was a hotel bathtub. That makes it so much better.
Are you airing all my dirty laundry again?
They asked us how we met, and I was just like, but then I said, I'm going to wait till Tylin is here because, you know, I don't know if I should be telling this story.
Oh,
all I'm saying is that I did end up in the bathtub. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
No, when
I was yelling at my current boyfriend because he was just always lying and cheating, and so I was just really pissed off at him. And so I was yelling at him, and Christy was like, oh, my God, I'm terrified. She, like, ran in the bathroom with the blankets, and after I got off the phone, I like look over and the next bed has no blankets on. I'm like, where'd Christy go? So I like walk in the bathroom. I'm like, hi, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, no, it's okay. I'm real comfortable here. I'll just sleep here. And I'm like, are you serious? Get in here. I'm not
so
that scary. I just have a bit of a temper.
And we've been the best of friends ever since. But she did scare the living crap out of me that night, I must say.
And you've been scared before. I mean, you were used to a yeller, I thought. I mean, weren't you with your horrible boyfriend?
I actually was. But, no, I wasn't afraid that she was going to hurt me, of course. But I just was like, well, I'm just going to, like, give you some space because I think you might need it.
Wow. But everybody, just so you know, Thailand John came on the call, and she is Miss March 1992 from my year, right before Chrissy.
Yes.
Yeah. And do you know that you were the first playmate I ever did meet, Thailand?
Really?
Yeah.
Aww.
You came by the studio while I was doing my shoot and something with Alexa. Alexis, you were dropping something off or something. And, yeah,
aww,
I was excited because you were the very first one I met.
Aww. Oh,
yeah.
Cool. That's sweet.
That was
thank
very
you.
Cool. And I loved it that you were I don't know why my Alexa just starts talking. Oh, because I just said Alexa.
Oh, because you said Alexis. That's why.
Yeah.
Funny.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, all right. Well, thank you. We're looking forward to interviewing you, Tylan, next week.
Yes.
And
I'll be
yeah,
on later.
So,
but
cool.
You guys have a great
right.
You guys have a great talk. Love you guys.
I love
thank
you.
Love you,
yes.
Too.
Talk to you
see
soon.
You week, okay.
Okay.
Right.
Bye, girl.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you, lady. Bye.
So sweet. She's awesome. And she did her centerfold on at Harley Davidson, and she actually had her own with her sisters and her dad. They were big Harley people, which I thought was totally
oh,
cool.
Oh, yeah. She was so mm-hmm. cool. She was, like, such a kick-ass girl. I mean, she was awesome. She was always, like, one
yeah.
of my, like, favorite people. And she still is one of my favorite people. She's just,
that's
like,
awesome.
She's just a cool chick.
Yeah. Well, what about your centerfold?
Yeah.
You've got your little lace on. And tell us, how did you feel about it? Did you love it? Do you still love it? Tell us about
no,
that.
No, I actually don't like it. That was like the third one we shot. And the first one that we shot, I actually really liked. Oh, I have a funny story about Steve Weta.
Okay.
We were shooting my, I don't know what, I think it was a test shoot, but we were shooting and Steve Wade is like, you know, doing the photography thing where he's like looking through his hands and like framing a picture like through his fingers, you know, and he's like looking and he's backing up and he's got his camera in his hand and he's like doing it. And then he like falls right in the pool.
That is
but my
good.
Son
called, oh my
yeah,
God.
It was funny. It was really funny.
With
here there.
Equipment.
Yeah,
did his camera wet?
Oh. I'm sure he did. Yeah, he fell like full on.
Can you
really
imagine
funny.
If you had a really great shoot a whole day and then all of the film was wasted?
No.
Can you imagine? That would have been
no.
bad.
Really sucked. Yeah, that would have really, really
so.
Sucked.
So, Stephen, did he do your layout? All of
who?
Your centerfold? Did Stephen
oh,
to do Wade? Your. Shooting?
No, mm-hmm. You know what? I got to shoot with all three of them. Steve did my test shoot, like my main, the test shoot, like where they, you know, actually do you up and,
right.
you know, when a makeup artist does you and they style you and the whole bit. So he did that. And then Richard Fagley did my first centerfold. And I don't know why.
In Chicago?
Why? No, he was actually here.
In Malibu,
so he did my
because
first...
you said it was done in Malibu.
No, actually, that was when I started shooting, like, the, not the gatefold, but the,
small
what
camera.
Did they call that?
Small camera?
Yeah, that was when I did that. But before that, I did my first centerfold with Richard Fagley here, and then I also, then I started shooting with Arnie, who eventually shot my whole layout.
Who was your favorite
but,
to shoot with?
Well, probably Arnie because, you know, I mean, because I ended up shooting with him the most. So, and him
yeah.
and I have, like, been pretty good friends all these years, so.
Yeah.
But they, I
he has
I
a lot
like
of other work. Like, he
always
yeah, shot a bunch of other stuff and then
mm-hmm.
would, you know, refer me, and that was totally cool.
Totally. Oh, my God. I got the greatest job through him. I got a job with Snap-on Tools for a year.
Me
it was
too.
Awesome.
Oh, my God.
You did?
Yes,
that
you got
so
me that
cool.
too.
Did you?
But I don't remember doing a whole year of anything. I just remember shooting the calendar.
Yeah, they did the calendar. You were probably the year after me. They shot a calendar, and then I think they got sued by some woman that was like offended
mm-hmm.
by the calendar hanging in there in some garage somewhere. So they stopped with the whole promotions. But when I was doing it, they sent me to like every single race across the country all year long, and I just find pictures. It was so fun. So I was traveling with them like practically every weekend. It was awesome.
It was like a Playboy gig almost, because after Playboy we do a lot of the signings around, and so you had
yeah.
like double signing.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. It was
and
really
good money.
Great. I mean, cause totally. Really good. Yeah. It was awesome.
I do remember
that,
Christy. I remember what they told me was that they hired a woman CEO of Snap-on, and then the calendars were over after that.
Really? Huh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard that they got sued, and you know, they were such like a wholesome company. But it was the pictures that we did were so they were like so mellow, you know. I mean, it was a chick on a forklift. Like, what could be offensive
totally.
About that? Seriously.
Well, completely clothed except for maybe some jean shorts.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Yeah,
I'm glad I made it in there before that was
yeah.
over, because it's kind of iconic
totally.
To be a Snap-on tool girl.
It was really awesome. And I have like mugs with like my, I was sold with a screwdriver. And it was a really good
cool.
screwdriver, which was really cool. Yeah, they were a really fun company to work for.
That's
yeah,
cool.
I love
them. There were probably a lot of opportunities. Did you want to become an actress, and did you want
yes,
to really pursue modeling hard?
You know what? I didn't really know what I wanted to do. At the time, though, I was convinced that I wanted to become an actress, but I think that's because I was, like, in Hollywood, and, you know, that's kind of what everybody does when they're young and they
right.
go to Hollywood, you know? So,
yeah.
I don't know. But I've always been an artist. I've always made things with my hands. So
really?
When I kind of stopped doing Playboy, oh, yeah, I've always been an artist. I ended up going to school before I started going to school now. I went to college to be an artist.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you were really, you know, you knew what you wanted to do. Even when you had the rough patches in the beginning when you were young, it sounds like that you got it together pretty well after that. And, you know,
not really.
Really cool thing.
I don't know. I think because they just got it together maybe like 6 months ago, to tell you the truth.
Maybe that's why you were always so much fun.
Yeah, exactly. I think you could be right there for sure. Yeah, it was. It's been a journey. It's been a journey for sure. It's been a long journey.
It really has.
I'm sorry?
But in your year,
yeah.
I was going to, okay, in your year, okay, I see this now because I have the centerfold book open. Karina Harney was the Playmate of the Year in your year. I asked everybody, what was the buzz going on at the time? Were you really hoping? Did you not care? Did you even know that there was a Playmate of the Year before you were a Playmate? I didn't even know. Tell us
your
thoughts.
Oh, we knew. We knew because I think that they told every single one of us that we were going to be Playmate of the Year. And then, you know, like they just, I think that they were trying to keep me in line because I was kind of, I had this idea that like I wanted to start like a Playmate union back then because I wanted us to have like insurance and I wanted us to be like employees and have some like protection that way. And like,
it sounds like
right?
You
I thought it was
that.
A good idea.
We did
I'm
become
I mean,
play, we did become employees for a while.
Yeah, it sounds
no.
like
yeah,
we're protected. From what I've heard, it was like, oh, you know, my car is broke down. I call the mansion. I need money to go for a flight home. Call the mansion. I'm not. I mean, am I exaggerating, or was it like that, or?
they started kind of what I want. I wanted to do this back in like 91, 92. And then like years later, they did start something like that where they did offer us insurance, and they did, like Hess gave me $2,000 a year to go to school when I was going to get my bachelor's, which is really cool.
That was my next question, Christy, because I was going to ask you if you took advantage of the college fund, because not many people did. Wow, that's so cool that you did that.
Yeah, that was really cool, actually. I mean, I really, really appreciate it because it's hard. You know, it's hard when you're a student. It's hard now being a student. But I really appreciated that. They gave me like $2,000 a year to go to school. It was really cool.
Yeah,
so,
Bonnie Marino, I met her up with her, and she said she took advantage of that too. So, yeah, I haven't met many people who had taken advantage of that.
Really?
That's cool. And we were. But I haven't asked. I'm asking everybody that now. But I remember they had us, because our checks, something was different than we were employees for a while, probably because you started that. And then it went back to not being employees. And
right.
I remember around maybe when Christy Hefner was there.
Yeah, remember we got business cards all of a sudden, and everything was a little kind of, I was already pretty much out by then, sort of,
how many years? How many years do you think you were really in with Playboy, aware, stopping by the offices? You know how you would do that, and they'd have your own folder for your fan mail, and you would do it there and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, how many years do you think you did that? Yeah.
I would say 2 years at the most. And then I sort of like became like a feminist and sort of like I kind of rebelled against Playboy a little. I mean, believe me, I've come to really appreciate kind of everything about Playboy, even from a feminist perspective. But but back then I felt like I had been a sex object my whole entire life, and that was what I was rebelling against, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was rebelling against the fact that, like, I didn't get to be a kid because I was a sex object when I was a child, you know. And Playboy had nothing to do with that. Playboy, you know, was kind of the opposite of that. I mean, they, you know, they let you flourish, and they stood behind what you wanted to do, and, you know, and they propelled you. They didn't, you know, suppress you. And but at the time, I think I just kind of rebelled against anything having to do with any sort of objectification, and I kind of lumped Playboy into all that. But
that
I wish I did.
Sense.
In hindsight, like, I really wish I would have taken full advantage of it, because, God, I look back at those times now, and I cherish those memories so much. I mean,
all those parties.
Experience that.
No wonder. No wonder I didn't see you for a while, because that was your mindset for a while. Wow, interesting.
Also, I lost my best friend committed suicide, and that really took like a big chunk out of, you know, like any sort of like happiness or any, you know, like it's impossible to like have any joy when something like that happens, and it takes so long to recover from something like that. So that's also why I kind of ducked out for a while. But
a lot of hard times.
I just have, you know what, I've had a lot of experiences, and I so want to, like, and I've made it out the other end of all of them. You know, like, I don't look back and think, like, oh, I've had such a bad life. I haven't. I've had a great life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gone through a lot of different extremes, and I want to use the stuff that I've been through to help other people that have been going through the same thing, or, you know,
we
want to help them come out the other end.
Are doing.
Definitely.
As soon as this coronavirus lets up a little bit, you can, you know, enjoy your classes with your teacher interaction and things. That must be really hard.
I like to. Yeah, totally.
That must be hard. So you really are enjoying the schooling, though, for becoming a therapist.
Yes, and I started a greeting card company, and that's been, like, the funnest thing ever. So I've been having so much fun. I've been an artist forever, and I always painted, like, really realistically. I painted, like, giant-scale paintings, not giant, but, like, 6-foot, you know, 7-foot tall paintings. of like, and super like hyper realistic paintings. So it was really kind of backbreaking work, and I got stuck in this style. And so art kind of lost its joy for me for a while. And I got through this quarantine, I'm away from my studio, staying with my mom. And she is like a big crafter. And so she convinced me to make some cards one day. And I'm like, okay. And so I started making cards, and I just fell in love with card making. It's like the funnest thing ever. It's so
fun.
Oh,
my goodness.
Oh, my God,
it's so funny. I do that with my mother when I go home.
Really? Oh, my
yes,
God, that's so cool.
She's one of those crafters, too. But, you know, then I don't ever do it again. Yeah, it's so wonderful.
Yes.
Where can we find them?
On Etsy, 17chickens.etsy.com. 17chickens
okay, everybody.
Is my company name.
17chickens on Etsy. Okay, I'm going to check it out.
Check it out. Oh, my God. It is so much fun. It's like I do it every, like, I'm obsessed with it at this point. I mean, literally, I dream about making cards. I just, like, I'm having so much fun, and I've, like, found the joy in making art again, and it's completely, like woken up my soul. I feel alive.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
Oh, I really understand that.
Yeah.
Especially you being a real artist, you really having a passion for it and have studied it. Somebody like you, without that, you do have an emptiness inside. And you found it again.
God,
and
yeah.
I can imagine. I mean, I'm picturing you doing these 6-foot tall paintings, and how cool is that? I mean, of course. But like you said, it's backbreaking. You can't just do it everywhere.
Yeah.
You could do these creative cards and just big stuff. You guys, right?
Totally.
Now. I mean, the card is actually the gift these days.
Yeah, totally. And they're so fun. And honestly, like, it's like they're every single one of them is just like my own little baby. Like, I just get so excited seeing every step of these little cards come to life. They are like just so freaking amazing. They're awesome.
Well, we can't wait to go
check
those out, right, John?
You know, it's actually kind of funny.
You have to.
I sort of feel
we'll
the same
feature
way
them on our page.
When
you
I created
your
channel,
stuff,
when I created our channel or when I created, I know you feel about it. It's sort of like you put a lot of energy into it, so you're proud of it.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
I love
totally,
creating.
and I want to, and like I love looking at them so much. Like they like literally make me happy just to look at.
Uh-huh.
Like, even if I didn't, even if I didn't do them. I mean, usually I don't like feel this way about my own stuff, but like I just like looking at them. They make me so happy just to look at. So I want to want other people to have that too. So
pleasing
so that's
to
what
the
I,
eye. Pleasing
I'm sorry?
To the eye. It's pleasing to the eye. That's
definitely.
You know what does that for me is these little birds. I don't have to touch them. These little two birds we got, I thought, my daughter wanted them, and I was thinking, oh, they're going to drive me insane. I begged her to have them in the living room so I could be with them all day.
Aww.
And I just look at them. Just looking at them, I could look at them all day. Yes.
I
get it.
I totally understand. Yeah. I mean, I'm such a visual person. And I just, like, I miss having my studio. I miss having all my paints and my colors. And but now I, like, have it again. And I just, like, the making cards freaking takes my breath away.
I wish I could, like, turn the centerfold. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
Yes. No, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Because, like, at the time, especially, like, kind of what that saved me from, it was, like, such a bright spot. Such a point of like, God, I love this. Like, this is so fun. You know, it was joyful to shoot all of that. It was
our time in the 90s, Christy, don't you think it was just something special? Because I hear that a lot from people, not just because I'm in the 90s. I read, you know, it's not towards me. I read that our centerfolds, look at them. I mean, the attention to the detail, the lighting, everything's thought out. Everybody has a theme of some kind, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't even do that anymore now that Hef's gone. But, oh, wow, I could look at these I mean, talk about pleasing to the eye, right? I mean, it's creative. That's why you were drawn to it. I mean, how weird, though, how this all happened for you, because your abusive boyfriend, which you were just a little girl, you never even knew it was that bad, and it really was.
Yeah.
And he's telling you, you'll never be this. You'll never be this. Opening Playboy and showing you this is a real woman and you're never going to be this. And then 4 years later, you're like 18. I'm like, oh, yeah. You're like, oh, yeah. Watch me. And you did it.
Yep.
And it's gorgeous. And it was great in your life. And it saved
you. It was. Yeah.
And but you're an artist.
Yeah,
and
sure.
You were like, what if you weren't drawn to that? I mean, you would have been like, ooh, Playboy, I would never do that. But you were like,
ew,
oh, that's art. That's artistic.
I'm boring. Oh, God.
So, yeah.
Yes.
So if you look, when you looked at it, here's my question. When you first ever really looked at it and said, okay, that's what it is. Okay, yeah, I want to do that. Like, what were you thinking at that moment about the beauty of it?
About the beauty of it? Well, I was
like,
always
did you
so
say,
envious.
Oh, that's beautiful. Really?
Yeah, of other people's. Yeah, because, like, you know, it was a level of, to me, it was like, that was like the pinnacle of beauty, you know, like that was like especially because he, you know, because of him and getting that magazine and, you know, kind of throwing it in my face, it was always like, these girls are, you know, they're like the, I don't know.
And it really was the Playboy,
like the,
right?
Yeah.
It wasn't some other girly magazine. It was Playboy, right?
No,
back then?
Definitely Playboy. It was Rebecca Ferrati and Terry Lynn Dawes. Those two in particular were like my idols, like back then.
Oh,
cool. That's
what I forgot to ask you. I love hearing that. Like, who's your favorite, like, playmate? You know, I have mine. We ask that, don't we, Johnny, every time. So you're
Terry Lynn Dawes. We've been trying to get her on for a long time. If I try to get Terry Lynn Dawes on, can I tell her that Christy saw My Lies Is You? Can I say that?
It's Tom. It's Tom, Johnny. It's
Christy's
Tom.
Johnny.
Not Tom. Oh
my God.
Sorry.
Please. Everything.
Sorry. Christy Tom. Can I tell her that?
Yes. Tom. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if that will make her come on, but sure. No, but those two,
She's been on before I even was on. So she hasn't been on with me, and I've been trying to get her for, I think, 2 years, but I haven't tried lately. So, Johnny, let's try harder. So, but that was the girl that you idolized.
Shot.
Like, that was, I'm going to look her up right now. So that one and
her
and Rebecca Ferrati.
Rebecca Ferrati.
Wow.
Yeah, those two I saw everywhere, like in... I knew that they were playmates, but I saw them in beer commercials and I saw them on walls everywhere in every town.
Oh,
you know, so
cool.
I always just look at them and just think that, like, they were so beautiful and, like, I really, you know, but I never even imagined that, like, I was, you know, pretty enough to be amongst, you know, those girls. They were always
Ever?
Those girls. And, you know, no, I never.
When did that cliff go? Switch.
When they accepted me, honestly, it was, like, shocking to me. Like, absolutely mind-blowing.
Really?
It was mind-blowing.
But you were excited going.
Honestly.
So you were, like, enjoying going, you were saying, going through the layout process, shooting it. You were having a really great time. But all that time you were like, oh, I have to make it. Oh, gosh, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Or you were just kind of like, oh, well, I don't think I am.
I kind of just didn't get my hopes up. I really, like, you know, like, I think I was, the situation I was coming out of, I didn't have, like, a whole lot of self-esteem. Like, my self-esteem was, like, really shot to shit. And, you know, so I don't think I was really, I didn't know myself, and I didn't see my value kind of in any way. I was really done a number on them. And
did you talk
to
much to, like, when you were shooting, did you express that, how you were feeling to Tracy, the makeup artist? Like, did you get close with her? I mean, were you able to, like, say, this is, I don't have any self-esteem, or were you just, like, sitting there with no self-esteem. I mean, did anybody notice this? Because it's odd, like, sitting for a shuttlefall, you have
no
self-esteem. Like,
no,
oh,
no,
wow.
No, no, listen, I didn't, like, go and, like, you know, I didn't have, like, a sad face on the whole time. I was more like a wide-eyed kid, like, wow, oh, my God, like, they like me, oh, my gosh, you know, like, that kind of thing, like,
okay.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it, like, that kind of thing. Like, I was super excited, you know, that
they
were,
loved
like,
it.
Even talking to me, you know.
That's right, love that. Oh, he loves that girl next door. Oh, my gosh, that's perfect. And tell us what your relationship was like with Hef. Did you have a conversation with him? Did you often or not? I mean,
I've had several conversations with him. I mean, we weren't close by any means, but, like, when I first started painting, I was, like, always trying to, like, you know, I would always, like, throw my pictures of my paintings up in front of him, and he'd, like, have to look at them just to be nice. You know, he would, like, go through them.
Cool.
It was really sweet. Yeah.
So where were you?
Supported.
Was it when he came by the studio, or – because he did that sometimes.
No.
Rarely.
Was it
in the day? When you went up to the mansion, like, in the day?
I really wouldn't go during the day. I would go for Friday night movies.
Or,
wait, Sunday night movies? Sunday night movies.
And you would talk
what was
to
Friday
him there?
Night?
Oh, Friday was
yeah.
The old movies, the black and white old. I liked it. If I was there, I would join. And then
yeah.
I forgot Saturday and then Sunday, the just before release movie, which probably not too much. Well, you could have talked to him then, but when did you have your conversations? Because there's not a lot of girls in the early 90s that actually talked to him while he was married to Kimberly. And you said you have a few conversations with him. That's amazing.
Well, we did, but I think that, like, I mean, I was so not Hef's purview by any means. You know what I mean? Like, I'm Asian, I'm brunette. Like, there wasn't me
threatened.
You know what
he didn't feel threatened. Oh my gosh! I could never.
Yeah.
Oh no, you could never go up to him if you were a blonde girl. He's
exactly.
You know, you're right.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Totally. So I was. Yeah. So I flew completely under the radar. I could have been the dog. You know.
Oh my god, that's so funny. I never would have thought about that. I didn't think about that.
Really?
So
oh, that's
true.
So funny. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Oh, he
yeah,
always
so.
Was staying away from me. And I said even one time in the beginning, hi, I'm Barbara Moore. Nice to meet you. And he goes, I know who you are. That was
now
one of my conversations. That was hilarious.
That's funny. Yeah. He had a completely
well,
different
he
relationship
was kind
with
of,
than he did with me.
Like, but he seemed intimidating to me. Like, it kind of made me nervous. Like, we were getting body painted one time and he came in and, you know, one time he did come over and he kissed me, and I was like, whoa, that was, like, cool, but I was not expecting it. And it was like, he pinned comes right in. I'm like, did he recognize who I was? Like, right. Then, it was just weird. But he had this other, hold on, Jenny. He had this other relation, I'm trying to point out, he had other relationships with other playmates totally differently, that they could totally
yeah.
be in a different connection. We're just trying to merely go over, like, what our connections were with him. It's interesting. It's not weird
totally.
Or we're not getting horny here. We're just trying to, you know, it's interesting. So
no,
I like to hear her point of view on it.
Don't you always get asked, like, don't you always get asked if you had to sleep with Hef?
Yes.
I always get
all
asked
the time.
It's like the most stupidest question. Oh my gosh. And do people ask you to sign pictures and put your nipple print or your lip print on it?
The nipple print thing, I can't do it. I just think it's gross.
I refuse. I mean, come on, I'm like 50 years old. Give me a freaking break. Like, how insulting.
Right.
Honestly, like, it's so weird. It's so creepy, right?
But yeah, they're asking. But they aren't asking too much if we had to. I get more, did I? Like they just expect, like, all of us have, you know, kind of like,
mm-hmm.
it's just now comes, it used to be, did you have to? Now it's like, did you? Like, it's just normal. Like, it's just too gross. I don't even accept those questions.
What was the comment you made about you couldn't approach you Hefner if you were blonde? Why was that?
Well, we were saying that because he was married. And Kimberly, of course, she loved, and she was protective of her husband. And he was very respectful. So it was kind of like he didn't. I just wasn't thinking that. I thought it was all 90s. Everybody must have the same as me. No. I'm finding out differently.
Yeah.
And then from your perspective, how interesting that. But of course, why didn't I see that? I should have known that. I mean, that's in real life, too.
Because it didn't. Because you didn't realize that that different people got treated different ways. You thought that that's how he was with everybody. So there's no reason why you would think that, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
But
that's
very interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever been in the upstairs? I heard one of the playmates said that she got in trouble when she went up there.
I've never been up there.
And I would never have gone up there. And I forgot who it was, Johnny. It was so funny. And she was like, I got scolded. Oh, it was Julie Clark from your year.
Oh, my gosh, Julie Clark. That's so funny. I like Julie Clark.
And actually, I never got to know her. I got to know her on the show, basically. I mean, I don't remember ever working with her.
Yeah, I remember working with her a couple of times. Yeah, and then
so that was interesting. She got in trouble because she went upstairs. She and Kimberly came down the hall, and she got friends with Morgan Fox. And you know, Morgan was really close. Yes, and I loved
Morgan Fox.
She was there a lot, rooming with me. We were doing things at the same time. It was weird.
She used to make me laugh.
She was cool, and I don't know where she is. Yeah. That's another question I wanted to ask you is. Like, don't you have people that you've lost, like, touch with?
Oh,
and
gosh,
where are they?
I mean, I find out so many people on Facebook, which is pretty cool. You know, like, it's pretty cool to, like, you know, find out what's going on with people on Facebook.
Yeah, but I used to be so close with Carrie Westcott, and I can't find her. I mean, she's in and out. It's so strange because she was so social and such a – we traveled to Japan together and France and –
really?
A lot of places. Oh, yes, with Playboy. I mean, Playboy Home Video.
Lost touch?
Oh, yeah. They hired us for everything. That Tony Lin, and he passed away, the president of Playboy Home Video, which came along in 1992, which, how lucky for me. I come in, I go around to meet the executive. He's brand new that year. Of course, that's who he's going to have the one then, right when he got the job. So I got all I traveled the world for 7 years with Playboy.
That's
awesome. Yeah.
Good for you. That's so cool. What a great experience.
So that
was awesome
amazing.
Experience.
That was my thing with them. Like, that was, you know, everything. My life, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally.
Okay, so
my
point is my whole relationship was really with the business, and mine wasn't with tech. There's not the new ones, but like there was a section of time when he got divorced and he was dating. It was around 2000, the millennium.
Yeah.
Remember? And then
it
totally changed the dynamic. But those people were working with Hef, asking Hef, Hef, can I have a cover? Hef, you know, it really determined that we were like the business. It was more about Marilyn Grabowski. What is she saying?
Totally. Yeah. It definitely. It definitely wasn't about Hef for sure. I mean, it was never about even the parties. I mean, the parties did become a lot more fun when Hef was single, though. They really became fun. But
they became real. They were real parties then. Before it was like, oh God, everybody's just standing around like twiddling their thumbs and. Like hating it.
Yeah.
They were all talking. Yeah. It was our family. We were all saying, weren't we? Oh, God. But it would be the older ones, too, the Hef friends, the ladies, and the couples, and they'd be like, this sucks. I hate it.
Totally. Yeah, definitely.
Nobody
it would look really pretty,
Christy.
But it was not fun.
These are the interesting stories. I mean, your girls from the 90s, we went through a totally different segment that.
Yeah,
in his whole
we totally
thing.
Did.
If you look, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, the 90s were the only years where he was taken in a marriage.
Yeah.
Except for, I mean, even in the 50s, nobody even knew he was married. Yeah. He didn't act like a married man in his 50s. So then, okay,
now
that
is that
would
it?
Have
been a
yeah.
fun time to be around, right? That would have been so fun to be around in the 50s and 60s, I think. Even in the 70s, I think, would have been really fun. 80s, not so
oh,
much.
Oh, yeah.
But 60s and 70s.
I was watching
so
something on it, and I really recommend it. It's called The American Playboy, and it's on,
oh, on Amazon.
Prime.
And Amazon, right?
Amazon
yeah.
Prime.
Oh, I've been
it's
wanting to see that.
It's very good.
You know
oh,
what
you
else
will
I was
love
surprised
it.
About? I was real surprised at how smart Hef was. I mean, I don't know why I was surprised at that, but, like, I was surprised at, like, what a feminist he was. I was surprised at how smart he was and how he would, like, really kind of
yeah.
hold his own in debates, you know, around that time. And, yeah.
And he wasn't
I
even raised
that,
like that. Like, how did that
yeah.
stick in him? It's his, he was an artist. His mind was always thinking, and he was so smart that he even knew,
yeah.
hey, you're not supposed to be racist. What in the heck's that? Why?
Yeah.
You know, and he
yeah,
was,
totally.
Yeah. Totally before anybody on that one in the 60s.
Yeah, totally.
And, oh, yeah. He
it's
was
cool to
ahead
be part
of
such a huge. Oh, yeah, definitely. It's cool to be part
mm-hmm.
of something that was so, that had such an impact in the world. You know, like, I mean, during, you know, like at its advent, you know, it's
iconic.
Yeah, and its involvement with, like, the sexual revolution. I mean, they had a lot to do with so much of our freedoms today. Like, and, you know, and it's clever.
Yes.
It's really cool to be part of that, to be, like, a deeply
he
ingrained
did.
Part of that machine.
Oh, totally.
He yeah.
fought so hard for that.
Cool.
You know, I'm thinking of
yeah.
actually getting all those books. I read a couple, but, you know, I forget. I want to reread all these books about Hef. It's really interesting. There's a lot of documentaries,
yeah.
but there's nothing like reading a book. And we started a book club, by the way, Christy. And we would like to join it. Our first one is How to Read Tarot in 1 Hour. Dale, she's going to. Yeah.
Oh, that's
that
the one I talked to you?
Yes, you did call in. How was the reading? Did you enjoy the reading?
I did. I actually really enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was really cool. I
well,
yeah,
love
we,
you.
We're going to be scheduling. We're going to be scheduling a tarot class. We were going to do it on the 26th of this month, but due to problems, we're going to have to reschedule it. But
we're doing
but
it
yeah, we're
on our
it.
Channel, okay, where you can see
yeah.
us. So that because we have to. Show you the cards, right? So did you know
right.
we have also a TV channel, Christy?
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah,
do
we're on
Roku.
Roku.
Wow,
Roku?
That is so exciting. I don't. I do not have
well,
Roku.
Eventually, get it. It's a great, it just streams so easily, a lot.
That is so cool. That's so cool. I love tarot and I love all that stuff. I was really actually impressed with Dale Shearer. I
yeah.
thought that she, like, hit
she'll
on things
that,
that, like, yeah, no,
she's
she was really,
she's good.
She, like, something that I didn't even ask about, she said that my life was going to be a movie one day, and I've been, like, talking to, I went to rehab, like, about a year ago, because I needed to really bad, and so I've been
oh.
sober for, like, a year and a half
good.
Now. Yeah.
Great. That's,
awesome.
That's probably why we're hearing from you.
I'm
just yeah, kidding.
Exactly.
I'm, you know, I'm always
no,
joking
true.
Around.
You know what?
Yeah,
I'm perfectly
connecting.
Fine with any of it. Totally. But when I was in there, we went through so much like writing and, you know, and whatever about just about your life. And in there, I decided that like I wanted to write my life story, just not like my life story, just like. My like a memoir, but not like anybody would care about my life story, but just a story that basically is my life and experiences.
But telling
but,
a really great like moral of a story as well, right? So it's an impactful.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh how
yeah,
awesome.
Definitely.
And so you were already,
yeah.
and then something about you wanted to. I remember your reading now. Oh wow.
Yeah.
And then you wanted to.
Yeah.
In your mind, she didn't know you. And you wanted
yeah.
to turn this
and
into a movie.
After, Right,
and
I didn't even ask her
that. She said,
I asked her like when I would be self-sufficient. That was my question for her. And I asked her if I was going to be moving anytime soon. And so she answered those questions. And then like out of nowhere, she kind of said, and you know what, you got to keep working on that story because it's going to be a movie. I don't really see it as a book, but it's going to be a movie. And I've always wanted to like the story of me and my best friend are kind of like she ended up committing suicide and hopefully like I'll go on to help a lot of people someday. And the contrast I feel like is, you know, where I want the story to be and the triumph and tribulation, you know, of two girls that grew up exactly the same. I mean, the same things happened to us. She was actually like a real model. She was 6 feet tall and she was on the cover of Vogue and, you know, she was amazingly beautiful.
So this is your best friend. So this is really, I have a best friend who's forceful.
Yeah.
I feel this. Okay, go on. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, we were just, oh no, it's okay. We were super close, you know, and we just had such parallel lives. And for her to, you know, do something so drastic, she ended up shooting herself when we were 23. And she was a model. I mean, first of all, like when women commit suicide, they never shoot themselves in the head or face. Like they just typically don't. Yeah.
And you had no warning? I was going to say, like, was there a warning?
Well, she had tried when we were kids, when we were about like maybe 12. She tried by taking like a excessive amount of Tylenol, but it certainly wasn't like picking up a shotgun and, you know, pulling the trigger.
Right.
You know.
Can we ask why? Why did she feel like it? Was there a reason? I mean, sometimes people just, we don't know, really.
Honestly, Barbara, like, I really feel like so much happened when we were growing up. Like, so much happened. For some reason, like, her and I were magnets for bad stuff. I mean, people just preyed on us and we were like, you know, 12, 13, 11, and we looked like we were 20, you know.
Is that
that's
when you
never
met?
The combo. We
met
in
at that
high.
Age.
Yeah.
So that is
that's
like seventh grade, 12. Wow. That's
very
young.
Well,
so you really bonded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally. And we were like the weirdos of the school, you know, like, you know, we were not the cheerleaders. We were like the weird chicks that, you know, like people didn't really talk to, but we just talked to ourselves, you know, and we just, we were like the best.
Like
friends.
Maybe you were you new wave?
Oh, hell yeah. After we went through like our heavy metal, after we went through our like Def Leppard, Van Halen phase. Yeah, for sure.
Right,
then
right.
New Aha.
Right.
Duran Duran. Oh, my God. I love Duran Duran.
Oingo Boingo.
It's so funny.
Oh, I saw all of them in concert in Seattle. My girlfriend and I,
that's
we
so
were
cool.
Best friends like that. We would go down and we would wrap roses and make 7 cents per rose and go down to $6 or less clothing store and buy the exact same miniskirt bustier and bolero. And then we'd go to the concert in our high heels in the back and we would never have to buy tickets. They always, like, we were always backstage. We didn't do anything. And we were 16, but we were, like, big girl types. But I was the one who was, like, the experimenter because she already had 9 older brothers and sisters
Holy
that thought it was
cow.
Funny to get her high. Yeah, they thought it was funny to get her
high. Oh, my gosh.
She had already quit drugs by the age of 15. Well, you know, when I wanted to maybe try smoking pot or, you know, have a drink.
Right.
She wasn't doing it. So I had this, like, protector.
Right.
She was, like, clean and sober, like, herself. Like, I, you know, recovered. And then, well, she wasn't saying that, but we didn't say that back then. We didn't say anything. She just didn't drink.
Yeah.
And then... So it was like I had that protection, and that was a bond, but she didn't care. She wanted it to get wild and fun, and it was. That is a friend. This is probably the type of friend that you had that you lost. And
for
that is.
Yeah.
So what do you say? Do you ever say, I regret, maybe I should have talked to her more? Because that friend I'm not talking to much. We text, and, you know, we should even more text more, but... I mean, I'm gonna go out.
You know
and
what?
See
I,
her.
Kind of,
I mean, I could lose her.
Yeah, well, definitely think of that for sure. Definitely don't take this time for granted for sure. But I kind of refuse to regret anything. I don't believe in like living with regrets, you know. So like, yeah, I mean, things having to do with her. I've brought it. I've created such a story in my mind that like her death has to mean something, and that's why like I have to write this book, and that's why I have to get it in front of people, and that's why I have to become a therapist so I can help people, and that's why our story together, you know, has to help girls that came from our situations, you know, so that her death
have
this, you know, huge meaning to it, as opposed to just some girl that went to Hollywood, became a big model, and then killed herself. Like, that's such a dumb story.
Yeah, I'm
you know,
not one to just want to people say, oh, Barbara, you're so great. You're a great marketer and all that and longevity. Why don't you open something where you're helping others? Like, okay, but I don't want to help them with their clothes and their makeup. I mean, no, I want to help them with what's inside of them. You know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like you.
Exactly.
That
me
is
too.
Something
yeah,
I want to. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanna help them get through. I don't want people to like lose their best friends like I did. I wanna like get those people past that. I wanna get those people through that. I wanna help people. So yeah,
yes.
So now that I'm like on this track, I feel like I'm finally, you know, like where I'm supposed to be. I can't be like
that's
a starving
awesome.
Artist like in my 50s. So this just makes
but,
like so much
hey,
sense in every way.
Today, it's all about reinventing yourself. And it sounds like
absolutely.
You know how to do that. Yes.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Me too.
Well, I'm learning, definitely.
I'm side by
yeah.
side. You know, we're entrepreneurs here. You know, you're an artist in that fashion. I'm an artist with, you know, my pictures and all the things that I do with that in the show.
Oh, yeah.
And the marketing, like 9 handles a day, I get to do, and I'm glad. I love business. I think it's great. So I came up
totally.
With this idea to have a book club. So we have the Life, Laughter, Happiness book club. We're starting with the
That's
tarot.
Cool.
Yes, and then we're going to read the book. I have the book. You can get it from daleshear.com, everybody. And, oh, no, you can get it on Amazon. Update, get it on Amazon. It's easy. Dale Shear. What? Don't
even well, I'm laughing
go
because
up and down. Up and down.
This,
what?
This is the thing that she always does. This is the cheese bar, this is what she always does. She will do a sentence, and then at the end of the sentence, it's always something really, it always does really, really loud. It's like, I went out to a photo shoot, and there was no one there. I went out to eat. And we got sick with the food.
Well, my playmate buddy, Echo Johnson, said she could listen to me talk all day long because it's interesting. She like the way I talk. And I didn't know I talked differently. But then everybody's pointing it out in a good way, though. Like Johnny, it goes
yeah.
up and down, up and down. And then I think maybe I do pour it on a little more when I'm doing the announcement part of the show. So because you guys liked it. What do you think?
Well,
about
you wouldn't
want
to be monotone. I mean, you wouldn't
know,
want to
right.
be like monotone and boring.
Very boring.
I say more power to you, girl.
I love it. So, you know what? This has been one of my most favorite Playboy Playmate interviews.
You probably say that
to date.
All the girls.
No. You go listen to all the shows and you'll see not that I do not do like
I'm
Johnny. Because this, I mean, not just, oh, wow, it's more salacious because it's juicy and there was like, you know, some things we've never heard about, Chrissy. No. It wasn't that. It was because, you know, we really got to know you. What's inside of you? And especially towards the end. So it was great.
I keep forgetting we're on the radio. I feel like we're just on the phone talking.
I know. That's why I like the show. How great is that, Chrissy? Oh my gosh. Great gig, right? Where I don't have to do my hair and makeup. I could do it like
so great.
In a towel if I want. And I can walk around.
Well, I mean, the feels good that you feel that way, Kristen, because that's the environment that I wanted to do what I created, the thing. So if a nice, relaxed environment, you can come in and, I mean, there's no intimidation, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I just feel like I'm talking to an old, well, I am talking to an old friend. So it's yeah, I keep forgetting that, like, oh, wait, this is a radio show. Yeah, totally.
And just how you have given your time, and we have gone over 19 minutes, but, you know, we always have it up set up for an hour and a half. So we care because a lot of people are like, hey, right at 6, they're like, you know, they make it known, and they're out. And it's nice to talk. And it does feel like that we are just, my whole point about like not having to get all made up and stuff, but the best part is it is just like talking. You're doing a show, but it's just like talking. You can be yourself. And I always just wanted a show where I could just be myself. And Johnny made that happen. So thank you, Johnny.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. And it's so nice catching up with you. Honestly, like, you have always been one of my favorite girls. And so it's been really nice talking to you in general.
Well, thank you. Oh, yeah, definitely. I totally feel the same. And this is a blessing that I actually am doing this. And we thought up to have a Playboy Playmate series because I get to get back into touch with, you know, because it's hard to pick up the phone. You think, well, maybe I'm bugging them. Well, you know.
No.
You know. I get to hear you guys again, and I'm in touch with you again. It's wonderful.
I think Playmates are like dogs, you know, like when a dog sees another dog, and they're like, oh, my God, it's a dog. You know, like, I think we're the same way. We're like, oh, my God, it's another Playmate. Oh, my God.
Yes.
You know, it's like exciting
like
all
sisters.
Of a sudden. Yeah,
we're like
totally.
Sisters, and we're not jealous. And Johnny has really realized that over all of these interviews because he, you know, maybe some people do. I don't think many people do think like that we get jealous of each other or we
and catty.
Are, you know, not, yeah, it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
And now he realizes that. And now he knows when you said it was like a sisterhood, he says that about
totally.
Us. He's like, you should call your show Sisterhood, Barbara, but I don't know about that. Anyway,
I don't know.
You like it?
I kind of like
it. Okay, we'll talk
like
about it.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay,
you and I will
talk
that
over.
About. Okay, because you're an artist. Okay. I will.
I like
I'm
it.
Talk to you about my title. Okay, Johnny and I, we have a show. It's called Life After Happiness, Sons of Roku. I actually purchased. They're very affordable, you guys. It's huge, 55-inch. Flat screen, on my wall, Roku, built-in TV. Wonderful. Right at Target. Go get one. Or get the little box. I got one for my daughter. What is it? $30 or $25. And you have Roku. And then you can watch our show and watch it grow. Because right now we've put a couple things up there. And we want to start really doing things. So our first thing is to represent the book club, and we are going to have Dale Shear show us tarot. We're going to learn that in 1 hour. We're going to know how to read tarot. She told
That's
us what kind
funny.
To get. Yes. So go get your Rider Waite, W-A-T-E, Rider Waite card. Those are the kinds that she wants everybody to have. The beginner kind. I bought them. $7 on Amazon. Get that, and we're going to do that on the 26th, right, Johnny?
Yes. Well, actually, no. I sent you a message. We're going to be scheduled on the 26th.
Hold on.
Feature day.
Johnny, it's fine. Let's go over the schedule later. So that's coming up soon.
Sorry.
And you're going to come on, and we have enough spaces on our Blue Jeans platform to have 75 guests. Will you be one of them?
Yeah, what do I have to do?
Oh, you just call in. We give you a link, and you just call in.
Yeah,
we'll have it posted on our Life, Laughter, Happiness website and all of our social media. And then you just, at that time, and there we can see you. You can turn off your video if you don't want to be seen or heard. Fine. But we prefer to see people. And you're going to be able to see Johnny and you're going to be able to see me. He does this out of Florida. You know that we've never really met, right, Christy?
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't realize
that.
Yeah,
we are going to fix that in May. We're going to fix
one
that.
Of these days. Awesome.
He had a ticket to come out, but the coronavirus happened. It was March. He was, So, yes, I've never met Johnny, and we've been working together for, I think, almost 2 years, right, Johnny?
Yeah, something like
That's
that, yeah.
That's so funny. That's so, what part of Florida are you in, Johnny?
Destin, Florida. I'm on the Panhandle, and she's, I mean, I think what it is that there's something that kind of mystifies me about Los Angeles. I know it's weird, but it's something about the city. It's like associated with the centerfold, well, not centerfold, but celebrities. And it's like, I went there and it was just like, the last time I went there, I would see limousines and I would see celebrities. And then I would think, it's weird. It's different than when you're in Atlanta. You know, you might see a Madea, but you don't really see celebrities in Atlanta. And I ran into this one guy and I said, so, when was the last time you saw Paris Hilton? And you know what his answer was, where to find Paris Hilton?
Who?
At the Hilton.
What
you know,
Hilton?
And I had it.
Probably.
I guess that makes sense, no. Because, you know, yeah, Grandma owns it. I mean, you know, she would always take out the Beverly Hills Hilton just when she was out, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a different mentality. And he was excited to come out. And, you know, Christy. Okay. I was going to get all of, back then, I was going to get all of the playmates that he knew who would come, like meet at the beach or something, to have a fun day with Johnny. I was going to do that. He was so excited. He was so excited. I know.
That's such a bummer.
I moved to Huntington Beach. Did you know I moved to Huntington Beach?
No, I didn't.
Yes.
Oh, it's such a bummer you didn't get to come.
Well, you can come over when this dies down, because it sounds like you're very careful.
Yeah.
And
I am.
Me too. I have a daughter. Oh, by the way, we have just 4 minutes left. I forgot to even ask you. Did you ever get married? What's going on in your love life?
Nope.
May I ask? No children. Did you have kids?
No children for me. I did not have kids. I never got married.
Are you fine with this?
I'm sorry?
Are you fine with it?
I don't know. I don't know. I've got enough going on with myself, more or less dealing with another person. Enough to deal with all by myself right now. So
I understand that I'm dealing with a teenager right now. Okay. It's either you're not dealing with a teenager or you are. And you know what? Teenagers, I'm like, mine's going to be good. Mine's going to be good. No. Oh, God. You never know. You never know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I do not envy you right now.
Especially 24/7 together.
Yeah, I bet. Wow.
For how many months now? That's a lot of months. But anyway, you know.
Yeah.
She's good, too, in many, many ways as well. Very sweet, too. Very sweet.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to wrap it up. We want to thank you for being so generous with your time and spending 90 minutes with us. Christy Tom.
Has it been 90 minutes? Wow. Jeez.
Yes.
Thank you guys for having me on. Totally fun.
Oh, good. Well, we're glad. We thoroughly enjoyed it. Like I said, it was one of my favorite interviews. We really got to know who you are. And we wish you so much success.
Thank you.
And I just
check
know.
Check out my card.
In my heart with the cards. And we wanted shout out where to get your cards on Etsy. It's called 17chickens.com. Is that correct?
So, no, 17chickens.etsy.com.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, 17chickens.etsy.com. Okay, you interrupted. Okay, the link is in the description on our YouTube channel where you will be able to listen to this show momentarily. And that is so cool. You do wonderful, custom, beautiful, artistic cards. I can't wait to see them. 17
yeah,
chickens.
Check them out. They'll make you happy.
Yes.
Etsy.com.
Oh. Okay, I love that. And then can we find
yeah.
you elsewhere? Instagram, YouTube, anywhere you want to tell the listeners where to find you, Christy?
Just 17chickens.etsy.com for now.
Perfect. I can't
yeah.
wait to look at those. Okay.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you, Playboy Miss February 1991, Christy Tom.
Thanks, you
for
guys. Thanks for having
with
on.
Us tonight. We love you.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you. Thank
okay.
you. I love you, too. I will talk to you soon.
Bye,
see you at the tarot class.
Definitely.
Love you.
Bye.
Love you, too. Bye.
Good night.
Bye.